I'm Izzy Judd, and welcome to my podcast, Let's Talk Fertility. This podcast is sponsored by Pregnacare. During my own fertility treatment and pregnancies, I was recommended to take specialist vitamins and minerals to support my nutritional needs. There are many benefits to taking these supplements, and they also made me feel like I was taking a proactive approach to prepare myself and my body as best I could. Pregnacare Conception and Wellman Conception vitamin and mineral supplements provide advanced nutritional support for men and women trying for a baby, including zinc, vitamin D, and the exact levels of folic acid recommended for women by the UK Department of Health. Pregnacare, expert nutritional care while trying for a baby. To find out more, visit www.pregnacare.com.
So, Izzy Judd, we've known each other for about a year now, but for listeners who maybe don't know you as well as I do, in no particular order, you are an insanely talented musician, a Britain's Got Talent finalist with your string quartet Escala. You're the author of best-selling book Dare to Dream, in which you shared your own experiences of fertility struggles. You're married to Harry Judd from the band McFly, and you have two children, a little girl Lola, who is two, and a boy Kit, who is one. I want to start by asking you why you've decided to do this podcast. Who's it for?
So I've decided to start this podcast because I feel so passionately about keeping the conversation about fertility going. I have certainly felt that just because I now have my two beautiful children and I'm so lucky to have Lola and Kit, a part of me will never let go of what I went through to have my family. And it's funny, it's almost like, it's not like you go, right, I've done it. For me, fertility will always stay with me. And it's something I really want to continue talking about. So when we decided that we would start a podcast, I thought it would be really great to get a selection of guests and people to talk about fertility, whether it's something because of a personal experience or whether it's an expert or a more holistic approach, but something that will hopefully be a companion to people listening that might be going through the struggles that we faced.
Yeah. And who do you imagine might be listening?
Yeah, I mean, I guess as well, it's interesting because people that listen obviously may be going through their journey at the moment. They might be a friend of somebody that's going through it and they don't know what to say, or a family member, or even perhaps even somebody like me that still feels very interested to hear about fertility and fascinated to hear about the other stories. Because I think what's so common and what I'm hearing a lot of is that you feel so deeply connected to other people when you can start to open up and share your stories, and you feel like there is the space to feel like you're allowed to have this conversation. Mm-hmm. So hopefully by talking, we're giving other people the chance to open up and feel that they can talk.
Yeah, absolutely. And that, I mean, that seems to me what's so brilliant about you doing this and your book. I wonder if we can go to the beginning of your book. And the first chapter is called Happy Ever After. And it starts with this fairy tale wedding and then everything changed. Can you take us back to that sort of beginning and what happened? Talk us through the story a bit.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting you even asking me that, because looking back, I was such a different person before I knew how hard it was going to be to have a family and motherhood. Mm-hmm. The person I was back then is so naive, really, into the reality of, the world of fertility. Mm-hmm. But going back, Harry and I have been together, I think, about 8 years when he finally decided that, yeah.
Took him 8 years?
I think it was about 8 years.
And how old were you when you met then?
So what, I would have been 20, 21? And we met on tour. I was playing the violin in the backing orchestra for McFly on their Wonderland tour. And we literally, our eyes met over a triangle in their song, All About You. Oh, actually, sorry, it was a tambourine. I must get that right, otherwise Harry will be. And honestly, it was just one of those moments where I met him and it felt like I'd known him forever. And it was a time in my life where I just had my heart broken and I'd just lost my dear grandmother, and there he was, and it was just so
beautiful.
Yeah, and so we got married, mm-hmm. and my instinct, kind of my natural reaction was, okay, well, we'll start trying for a family. And Harry said, oh, well, let's wait for a bit. I said, well, what do we wait? We've been together how many years? And I was, you know, I'd always wanted to be a mum. That was how I had always pictured my life to be. And I said okay, and eventually I did persuade him and we did start trying for a family. And the first month my period didn't start, and I remember we thought, we've done it.
Yeah.
So we bought the pregnancy tests, we're actually at my parents' house. We both went into the loo together because just assumed it was a sure yeah. thing, and it was negative, and I, you know, instantly, where do you go? Google.
Yeah, Dr. Google.
Yeah. And that's probably where my obsession with Google began, actually.
Yeah.
And I spent far too long on there.
Yeah, well, you're not the only one, Izzy. You beat yourself up about
no.
that.
And, you know, it says it can take a few days for the pregnancy hormone to rise. And so I thought, okay, I'll test again in a few days, and started to look out for all the symptoms. Anyway, very quickly, we established I was not pregnant and therefore, you know, right, I need to see a doctor. You know, what's going on? This is...
Did you really think that quickly?
That quickly. And actually, if there is one thing I could say to myself going back, I wish I had understood better that this can take time.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're in such a world where we expect things to just happen, or mm-hmm. we're used to things happening, and if they don't, we can fix it. And there's, you know, with the click of a button, things can be done and mm-hmm. we have control. And being somebody that likes to be in control, basically a control freak, for me it was a case of right, well, we need to fix this. Mm. So there's a problem, we need to fix it. And I did know previously that I had polycystic ovaries.
Right. When was that diagnosed?
So that sort of earlier in my 20s, because I really struggled with bad skin, had bad acne, and I was told I had polycystic ovaries, but I wasn't told the connection about my fertility and PCOS. I didn't even realise mm-hmm. that there was a connection.
And for anyone who's listening who might not know what PCOS is, I mean, just briefly, what is the condition?
So basically, PCOS is when you don't ovulate. I think this is the thing, though. I wasn't your classic PCOS candidate, if you like.
Yeah.
In that I did have regular periods. And there are various other symptoms, like excess hair or you're not able to lose weight. But for me, the only thing that triggered me to go and see a gynecologist was because of my skin.
Right.
And it was only at that point that I was told I had polycystic ovaries.
And that was in your early 20s, and they didn't give you any suggestion that it might affect your fertility?
Nothing.
Yeah.
And I was put on the pill
yeah.
for my skin.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so...
But then when it didn't work that first month, something obviously sort of triggered in your head that, like, maybe you ought to go and see someone.
Yeah, yeah. And I suppose... It had always slightly been a fear of mine about not being able to get pregnant.
Uh-huh.
Maybe subconsciously. But I do think, I mean, you'll see from with Dare to Dream that I really feel that my mind was so powerful mm. in the process of trying to conceive. And I think I got myself into such a state that first month about it happening that my body almost reacted to that stress that I was putting myself under. And yet, when you are going through it, the worst thing anyone can say to you is, you know, just relax.
Yeah.
You know, because it's on your mind 24/7.
No,
it's all
absolutely.
You think about.
I totally agree with you. And I want to talk to you a little bit more about the mind-body connection, because I know it's something that you feel really sort of strongly about. But tell me, so you went to a doctor. Did you get a diagnosis?
Yeah, so they ran a whole load of tests then.
Yeah.
So, you know, checking my egg reserve, all my hormone levels, which everything was fine. It was polycystic ovaries. So the treatment was Clomid, which is quite a common medication for PCOS, as well as metformin. But I actually jumped straight into Clomid because I just wanted to be pregnant. So they were saying, take this, so you just do. And I responded so badly to Clomid physically and mentally, and I found it a very difficult time. And over those 6 months of Clomid treatment, nothing was happening. It was like my body just resisted everything. And very, very quickly, I lost a lot of confidence and myself, really.
So then it sounds like you were very quickly in the thick of sort of fertility tests, fertility treatment. And talk a bit about a little bit more about what that was doing to your sort of emotional state in your mind, because I know that you've also been very honest about your struggles with anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And how was that then affecting you? Because to go back to where we began, you had this, you know, fairy tale marriage and life, and suddenly it was taking a path that you weren't expecting.
I mean, I think for me, you know, I grew up in a family, I'm one of four, I've got three older brothers, and very loving family, very close. But tragically, my eldest brother suffered a very serious head injury when I was only 12. And living with a trauma and grief in a family, I think at a time in my life I was, you know, 12, 13, puberty's just starting. I do often wonder about the effect that that trauma had on my whole system.
Mm-hmm.
And as you say, I have suffered with anxiety. And when you are in an extreme state of anxiety, it disrupts your hormones because you're producing far more adrenaline. And yeah, everything, I think, became imbalanced. And my desire to start a family was so much around because of what my family had lost with the grief of my brother, even though he is still with us and he's the life and soul of every party, and he is my, you know, he's wonderful, Rupert. But my want for a family was almost to make my mum and dad have something new, a new chapter, a new exciting time, you know, grandchildren. So I suppose I did put quite a lot of pressure on myself for this idealistic, you know, next step that was going to happen.
I wanted to just, moving on from what you just said, I mean, you found yourself in fertility treatment, and then after the Clomid didn't work, you embarked on your first round of IVF.
Yeah, so what happened was sort of during those 6 months of Clomid, I rapidly lost who I was.
Yeah.
And Harry was going to parties on his own and going to events on his own because I just didn't want to be there. I didn't want to go. I didn't want to have to have the conversation of, you know, are you thinking of starting a family?
Yeah.
I felt really uncomfortable within my skin. my body, everything. I had reacted to the medication that I was taking. I felt very bloated. I just, there was nothing that felt like me at all. And it was after another negative pregnancy test that I sat with Harry and basically was just numb to all emotion. I'd gone through so many emotions and I just didn't really know what to feel anymore, but I just was numb. And Harry sort of said, you know, look, worst case scenario, it's you and me. And it was a real light bulb moment of, I had totally forgotten to actually understand that there is someone else going through this with me.
Mm.
And I married Harry, and that he, in that moment, was totally enough. And I had forgotten really to remember what my relationship was.
Mm, mm.
And that's what made me go, right, something's got to change. This is just ridiculous. This is, I am not going to be the girl that went away on her honeymoon and got pregnant. Mm. I'm not going to be the girl that gets pregnant next month, and maybe not the month after. That is not my experience, and I have to do something differently.
Yeah.
And that was when I decided to do a complete mind, body, everything detox.
Yeah. Well, tell us a little bit more about that then, because there is this wonderful chapter in your book, which is called A Whole New Me. And it feels to me that that's the sort of mark of a new beginning, really. And I wonder if you can tell us a little bit about the key things that you did to create that new you.
Yeah, so I reached a point where I knew something had to change. I couldn't continue feeling how I did about myself and giving myself such a hard time. And I just decided I needed to do a complete mind, body, soul detox. So I basically looked at my nutrition and ate like a goddess. I looked at my what I was doing with my fitness. So I did a lot of more holistic exercise like yoga and swimming and walking, lots of being outside, just around nature, just those sorts of things. Mm-hmm. Just really helped balance me. And then also I looked at the supplements I was taking. So I took Pregnacare, which helps to balance your hormones. It helps with reducing stress and also helps with the quality of your eggs. And so I suppose I was just looking at myself as a whole, not necessarily just because I wanted to become pregnant, mm-hmm. but actually to look after myself again,
mm.
having, I think, neglected me kind of emotionally and physically.
And did you feel the effects quickly?
I was amazed at how quickly I felt better about everything. Mm-hmm. I felt more in control again. I was doing a lot of mindfulness, a lot of visualization. So, and actually that's something going into IVF, which I would really recommend, is some really great visualizations of what's actually going on inside you whilst you are going through treatment. So you really visualize the follicles growing, and you really, you know, at the time after transfer, I would think about the lining of the womb being like roots of the tree grabbing on to these embryos, holding on to the embryo tightly, and really visualize becoming pregnant, really believing. Mm. And I think because the mind is so powerful.
Yeah,
so,
I agree with you.
So, yeah, so I think all those things, it's not because it might affect the outcome,
mm-hmm.
it's more about how it makes you feel within the